starting another teacher study. Brandon challenged us to find a word and research a word and try to build a sermon off of it. So I listened, and this is the first time I've ever done this, so I'll say that. I usually take a theme or something like that, so I chose a word. I chose patience. Two Wednesdays ago, Sean said, "Why'd you choose patience?" I said, "Because I don't have any. And I need to study it. I need to learn a little bit about patience." You know, and I work in school. Most of you know that. And we we teach kids when to come in, stay in line. You can be the line leader next time. Get back in your spot. You can hold the door next time. Just wait. You know, and then they have to wait till you're 16 to get a license to drive legally. Wait till you're 18 to vote. Wait, wait, wait. It's what we hear a lot of times. And when you're young, you really don't understand it. So this morning, you know, I always felt patience was manners, being polite. That's what we're teaching them. But when I did the study, I think we're going to find as a Christian, patience means something a little bit more than just being polite. And it's more meaningful to us to be patient than just being polite and nice to one another. That's part of it, but it's deeper than that. I chose this this picture, and it's an animal, yes, with treats on its head. And that dog, that animal, is going against every instinct, innate instinct in him not to eat that. Because animals, when they have it, they eat it. And they're not going to wait. You know, and I chose that picture. There were several. I had children. But I chose that picture because that's patience. You know, if a dog can learn it, I think we can learn it. And good things will come to those who wait. We just need to be able to put our desires off and do God's will and look for the better. You know, my parents told me this phrase, good things come to those who wait a lot. And my statement in my head, I didn't say it out loud, was, yeah, but you're not waiting. I'm the one waiting when I was a kid. You already have the good things. I want what you have. You know, as a kid, that's what I thought was good, what my parents had. I didn't realize. But good things do come home to those that wait. And I hope through the lesson we'll learn a little bit more about patience. You will, as I have. The word patience is translated into cheerful or hopeful endurance. Consistency, constancy, consistency, and enduring. Patience, continuous, and waiting. I found a study. It's a little dated. I wish I could have found one a little more recent on the study of impatience. In March of 2006, Associated Press did a survey of 1,003 adults concerning Americans' attitudes and their behavior regarding impatience. Some of the findings included, while waiting in a line in an office or store, it takes 17 minutes for most people to lose their patience. On the phone, it takes 9 minutes for most people to lose their patience. Women lose their patience after waiting in line 18 minutes, and the average for men, 15. People with lower income and less education are more patient than those with college education and high income. You know, that spoke to me a little bit. Many of y'all have called it now, and you've got to go through all the systems to get to talk to somebody. And I always want to talk to somebody. I don't want to go through all the systems because I'm impatient. And I come out a lot of times and say, I know this isn't your fault, but, and I tell them what I think instead of being patient. Do you find yourself caught up in that sometimes? Sometimes, you know, I wonder, I look at the one people of lower income, less education. Why are they more patient than others with higher education and more income? I hope throughout the study we can show a reason why. I have one more and then I'll get started. How long do viewers wait for a video to start up? If you notice on this chart, within 5 seconds, if the video doesn't start, we lose, go somewhere else. In 30 seconds, 80% of the people, over 80%, quit. They're going to give up. 30 seconds, something they wanted to see. They looked up, they wanted to see it. 30 seconds, they give up. You know, the demand for instant results is coming out every corner in our lives. Retailers, Christmas is coming up. You can order something, get it the next day. And you'll pay $50 to get it the next day when it could come 2 days later for nothing. We want it now. We have smartphone number apps. I can order Subway and McDonald's from my office and go pick it up because I can't wait 2 minutes in line. I want it now. And all this instant gratification and all these luxuries are teaching us and experts say are making us less patient all the time. And I think that's a danger for us as Christians, and we need to be aware of patience and the patience we need to have as a Christian. We read in Hebrews 10 and 36, "For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." Showing patience and doing the will of God gives us a chance at receiving the promise of eternal life in heaven. We also see Revelation 14, 12. Here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. We read again that as Christians, we need to exhibit patience. I think the lessons we were being taught were more about manners, don't you? We've been taught Christian principles as kids, patience. We need patience to inherit the promise. I've got an example of patience. When Job's three friends heard of the evil that was to come upon him, they made an appointment together to come mourn with him and comfort him. And they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not. They lifted up their voice and wept. And they rent every one his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. 7 days and 7 nights. They sat with a friend unselfishly, long-suffering, and didn't speak a word. They were there to comfort him. You know, I think back, and this kind of digs at you a little bit, or me. I'm speaking to me. When I sat with my parents, I'd go in, I'd say something, we'd talk a little small talk, and I had to get the TV on or something. Gained 20 pounds because I had to eat. I had to do something. I couldn't just sit and be with them. You know, when people are suffering and having trouble, we need to follow this example and unselfishly sit with them and comfort them in the way they need to be comforted. I wished I could go back and just sit there and hold their hand, because that's what they needed at that time. And we need to remember this when we see people suffering. Self-control, we have to have self-control to have patience. We said 2 Peter 1 and 5, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind. He and cannot see afar off, and hath given that he was, had forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." Here, temperance means self-control, and self-control can lead us to be more patience, and patience godliness. Self-control and patience needs to be abound in each of us every day, and we need to exhibit it. I was in a wood shop watching a class, and I saw a young man with a hammer trying to nail a leg on a table, and he's hitting everything but the nail. And I was thinking, man, he's going to that table. I don't want to buy that table. The teacher came over and said, "Hey, wait." And he made him pull the nails out because he'd driven it in some. And he said, "Remember, I told you, line this up. And then you get your nail started." And he said, "Start hitting that nail." Now, remember, this is about patience and self-control, not, judgment. He said, "I'm going to hold the nail. You hit it." So the kid hit it a couple times, three times. I said, "Well, maybe he's going to get through this," because I just witnessed him all over the place. And he said, "Now hit it." And I heard a thunk because I looked away. And I turned. I was going pretty quick because I didn't know the reaction I was going to get. And the teacher kind of shook his hand and said, "All right, now you hold this and hit it." He lined it up, showed self-control. And I bragged on him when he came back to the school. I said, "Man, I can't." "That's great. I can't believe you didn't." He said, "It was probably good for him you were here." And I said, "Well, I'm glad I was there so I didn't have to deal with something else." But I tell that story to say, and I told that part to say, whether people are in our presence or not, self-control, we need it all the time, whether somebody's there or not. God knows. God's watching. Somebody's always with us. We don't need to exhibit it for others. We need to exhibit it because it's right, and we're showing continual endurance to trials that we face. And self-control is a major part of patience. Humility is required for patience. So we're reading 1 Corinthians 13:4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. And we also see in Proverbs, before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility. We're to endure things we perceive as wrong patiently and with kind spirit. We need to be slow to anger and quick to love. You know, I think the root of humility is probably pride of life gets in our way a lot of times. I know Sean mentioned one time about anger. He talked and he said, told somebody he had an anger problem. He said, well, it sounds like you got a pride problem. And that makes me think a lot. I'm glad he said that because I think about that a lot. Because when I'm not humble, I'm thinking, well, I can't, do you know who I am? I can't believe you did that to me. I want it now. These other people don't, it doesn't matter. I want what I want now. And sometimes you put yourself up on a pedestal. And I think not being humble and maybe being patient and waiting for others could be pride of life getting in our way. And it's something to think about. You know, I had a saying with kids, and it's usually over what was listened to on the radio going to a game. I said, it's my job. We want to hear this. I said, it's my job to teach you what your parents might not. The world doesn't revolve around you, and I'm running this show. And we'd listen to what I wanted to, so I need to tell myself what. When it comes to being humble, it's not about me. It's about all of us together trying to get, be more Christ-like and get to heaven. We're all in the same boat. Nobody above it. We're all sinners in the boat trying to get to heaven. None of us are better than the other when it comes down to it. We all have to have blood, the blood of Jesus to make it. So when we're getting impatient because we think things aren't going our way, we need to remember this. Don't put ourselves on a pedestal. Let's put God first on the pedestal, not ourselves. Patience leads to sobriety. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. You know, sober can mean different things. It can be not serious, but here it means sound mind. When your patience is tested, do you get beside yourself and not realize things that are said? You know, sobriety, a lot of times we think with alcohol and drugs when we talk about somebody being sober. Have you ever thought you could be drunk with anger? Have you ever been mad enough you didn't remember what you said? And when you get that mad, how does it affect the people around you? Do you ruin relationships? Do you make a non-Christian think, man, I don't want to, if he's a Christian, that's not what I want to be. Is that what we do when we're not patient and not sober-minded? I think we have to be real careful when we get angry. I'm going to say we, and I'm talking to myself a lot here. I told my wife coming over, and you can ask her, I said, this is hard for me to narrow down because I got many examples of impatience in my life. And I don't have many of patience, and this hit me hard. But being sober and sound mind all the time is very important to a Christian. I found a story when looking at this. There was a young man, there was an older man in the community that everybody looked up to and was well respected. A young man came to him and said, I've been insulted by this other person and was mad. And the older gentleman, he said, well, and talked to him a little, and he said, I'm fixing to go demand an apology. And he said, I wished you wouldn't. He said, I think you need time. He said, insults are like mud. With time, it'll dry, and you can just flick them away. He said, give it time to cool off, and then go visit, and you can mend the problem. But if you go now, you're going to start a fight. You know, when I use that story for sobriety, because when we get mad, we do head. We're going to fix it right now. We're going to fix it. Sometimes we need to take time, realize the situation, reflect on what needs to be done, and then react. Very few situations have I made better by reacting first and thinking later. So we need to make a sober, we need to have a sober and sound mind at all times. Patience, we see, is a learning process. You don't just develop it. You learn it over time. Titus 2:2-7. The aged men, be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior, Be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers of the home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God not be blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. In all these things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. We learn as we experience life, and we have responsibility to teach others what we have learned. We need to encourage each other to keep a sober mind, not encourage those that are not. We need to show a pattern of good works in our lives. I used to watch my granddad, 720 John Deere tractor. Many of y'all know he's a farmer, and he was very mechanical. He loved tinkering with stuff. And I would sit there, and it seemed like 27 hours a day, and watch him mess with something. And thinking the whole time, let's go, let's go. I could be doing it. But he was patient. I thought, he's the most patient man I'd ever seen. And then my dad, I'd say something later on, and my dad said, no, he didn't have no patience. He said, when I was young, this happened. He did this. And then I witnessed my dad, it's mainly men, I guess, that I'm mentioning. I mentioned my dad and, with my kids, I've asked, who are you before? Cause you're not my dad. You know, he said the same thing about his dad. I said the same thing about mine. So patience is a learned process. Sometimes as you're younger, you jump and react. So we have a responsibility, I guess I'm going to call myself elderly now, to act in the proper ways. You know, at school, I can understand if I was 22 in the position I'm in, I think Austin would be knowing where Shamrock's at pretty easy. They'd know the route because I wasn't near as patient. Now, my wife, she might disagree with all this. She still doesn't. I have a lot of work to do, but I have some patience. And as old, we need to teach the young how to be sober-minded. We need to encourage that. Sometimes I've seen people pick at somebody when they get a little crazy and make it worse. We don't need to encourage that action. We need to encourage and teach people and our young and other people to in the right way. Patience helps our faith grow stronger. Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered to him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part of me. Jesus knew that things had been put in place for him to go to the cross, and after the Last Supper, he was washing the disciples' feet. Peter questioned him about washing the feet. He told Peter that he did not understand now, but he will later. We may not understand why we're enduring the trials in our lives, but we don't need to lose our faith. We need to let our faith grow. We need to know that there is a plan for us, and we need to do God's will to reach our eternal home. So patience can help our faith grow stronger. When I coach teams, I used to do little things every now and then just to see how committed they were. Y'all do that with your kids some? Here, go over and do this, and it might seem a little odd, but you want to see the commitment. And those teams that I coached that did the best, they didn't even bat an eye. They just went and did it. Because they thought, well, if he wants us to do it, I guess this will make us better. You know, when we're going through trials, we need to find and be patient and endure those trials because things are going to get better. They will get better. Remember the main goal that we have here? We're all trying to be more Christ-like and reach that promise. Things will get better, and we need to understand that and keep patience as we go through and let our faith grow stronger, not weaker. Keep the goal in sight, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. We need to remember to maintain patient hope of Jesus and to keep our goal in sight. Let our faith be strengthened as we do work in this life. And not get wrapped up in all the little things in life and keep your eye on the goal. I'm going to have this story. I found this two frogs and cream. Two frogs fell in a tub of cream. One looked at the high side of the tub and they were too difficult to crawl over and said, "It's hopeless." So he resigned himself to death, relaxed, sank to the bottom. The other one determined to keep swimming as long as he could. "Something might happen," he said. He kept kicking and churning. Finally, he found himself on a solid platform of butter and jumped safely. Do you ever find yourself in that tub swimming? What's your attitude when you're there? Do you keep your faith? Keep the goal in mind? Keep God's will in mind when you're there? Or do we lose sight of the picture? You know, I'm going to talk a little. I think we're at a time of unrest in the country more than I've ever seen. Some other might disagree with me. But I think that's the problem. We're not keeping God up here in the big goal in mind in our country. I think when people don't get their way, we're taught to violently protest and go shoot. That's how we're dealing with it. And I think we need to keep God in mind, and I think if we'd put things in perspective in our country, it would be a lot safer and nicer place to live in. I'm going to close here. When things are falling apart, they may actually be falling into place, and we don't know it because we're not keeping trust and faith in our lives. We need to be under control, be sober, be humble, be patient, and have faith in God and do His will. That's our purpose. Keep God's commandments and love one another and keep our faith.